Well, it is 11 o'clock sharp. We interrupt the music on a Tuesday. And joining us is Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management this morning. I'm here with the Professor Petro Van Vaca. Good morning, Manny, and trusting you had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Good morning, Manny.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well.
Doing good. The professor's very passionate about some things today. So
yeah, he's giving me a hard time about the Patriots.
He's on fire. He's on fire.
I love it.
Anyway, we were talking about immigration issues on a worldwide basis, quite frankly.
I was in Cuba last week, and it just seems that the same economic issues there as they are here. You know, this flight of labor, inflation prices up, even though, you know, you consider Cuba outside of sort of like the main global economy, it seems like they have the same symptoms throughout. And we're talking with Costa Perdikaki earlier. He's in Greece, and he's saying how Greece is looking for 100,000 laborers, farm workers to, like, pick olives and stuff like that. And, you know, I was just saying that the immigration policy globally is such a idiotic policy to follow. You know, it's not even a free market policy. It should be like free movement of labor. It just seems
correct.
Like an easy solution, but
it's the framing. It's the framing of that question.
So what's up, Manny? How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's pretty quiet these days in the markets and in Wall Street. Yeah. But you're kind of in that seasonal lull. You know, coming in between holidays, not a whole lot of data points to work with, but things are chugging along. Indices are up. The rally from last week continued, and I think you'll probably continue with that through the rest of the year, through the end of the year. Depending on what retail sales look like, there have been a couple numbers that have come out as a result of Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Sales are slightly up, so we'll see. I mean, you could get a Santa Claus rally by the end of the year as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, I came back over the weekend. It was like, you know, people were saying, like, don't go to Rentham. It's the traffic was backed up.
Yeah.
And it just seemed that there were a lot of people out. I don't know if the people were leaving money or they're just, like, going out to just check out the window shop rather than, leave money at the stores. So I was going to ask you about the retail numbers.
And I also heard that, Cyber Monday? It was yesterday?
Yesterday.
The busiest Cyber Monday ever. So
people
are shopping. The U.S. citizen is spending money this Christmas. Yeah.
Look, we've talked about it. That's what's held us up all the way up until this point, is that consumer spending has been strong. What Wall Street got wrong was the fact that they thought you would have a recession play out in 2023, which was the exact opposite. Now, one word of caution is that folks are starting to get bulled up here, meaning more optimistic. I would say that rally is somewhat past you, and I would be very careful here about putting fresh powder or dry powder to work. I think that you are overextended. The fear and greed index has ticked back up almost to extreme greed. The VIX is at an ultra low level. I don't think anyone looked into their crystal ball and said that everything that took place this year, including geopolitics, that you would have the VIX, which is a measurement of risk and volatility in Wall Street, be at an all-time low.
Yeah.
That tells you that something could shake up over the next coming weeks to reverse that. So I would just be cautious. We don't see anything material happening right now in terms of a recession starting immediately or with economic ramifications. So I would just, stay very risk aware and make sure that you understand what you own and why you own it, and you should be okay.
Yeah. And I think you said something about geopolitics. I think we talked about this earlier. I think the status quo is just having volatility. I mean, I think it's like we have absorbed all kinds of, huge crisis kind of a thing, like the pandemic, war in Ukraine, what's going on in Gaza right now, what's going on in the Gulf, China. And it just seems that, this is the way that the world is going to be now. So we're sort of like, at the point of just accepting it that way. So it will take a really big jolt now to move us in a different way. I think it's sort of like,
I think so. We've almost become numb and been used to it.
Yeah, it's almost like a new equilibrium.
Yeah, you would need almost something like financial, like something catastrophic in the financial sector to really change the needle at this point in time. Because I don't think, I don't know about you, Professor, but I don't see things becoming more aggressive.
Yeah.
I think this is probably as bad as it gets. You just extended, that ceasefire for another 2 days.
Yeah.
I think that thing should improve. I don't see anything else out there as a catalyst that, you know, brings us to the next stage and closer to World War.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be World War. I mean, I think it's, you know, I agree with you. I think it's, you know, I was telling you earlier, just Ted, I just wrote something on an assessment of on Ukraine, and it just seems that, you know, we're like in this almost Orwellian space. You know, there's a constant war in Eurasia, whether the front is Ukraine or the Caucasus or the Eastern Med. It's just, you know, we're just so used to those front, that front moving, and that's the way that it's going to be. The players are going to adjust from time to time, like you're seeing, like the rise in Qatar, or before that you saw the UAE up and down, but the market doesn't, you know, it's not affected. You know, Libya has been a chaos for more than a decade. The oil flows and the energy flows out of there, no problem. So it just seems like we have detached the politics from the economics in some way. And we've also accepted the fact that it will be a some kind of like a issue in Eurasia. And I don't think it's going to be a world war. I think it's just going to be, that's the way things are now.
Yeah, I completely agree. In fact, I think Europe looks better than it did a year ago, especially when you look at what has taken place with refilling their gas pipelines and whatnot.
Yeah.
So if you are fearful of a dark, cold winter in Europe this year, that problem has been taken off the table, and they're looking as if they're, you know, in a better place. Economically speaking, obviously Germany's still in a recession. They do have some lackluster numbers that are getting put out. But I do think that it's somewhat trending in the right direction, which then brings you to, you know, what do people really want to talk about? Well, most likely between now and when you go to Greece next summer, the euro will be stronger. We expect that the dollar probably starts, has already peaked, and probably starts to decelerate here as we end the Fed rate hiking campaign, as well as central banks across the world having to play catch up because no one went as fast as we did.
Yeah, which is a good thing for the, you know, for the dollar. It's a good thing for like exports in the U.S. kind of a thing.
And 100%.
You know, 100%. So, you know, you want a softer dollar. So, I mean, my question to you is like, you know, about Argentina, like, you know, we haven't spoken since that election, like, you know, the whole process.
Really?
And the whole dollarization and central bank and, you know, so.
Look, I have a friend of mine who's a pretty big trader, and there was a lot of low-risk bets you could have made on Argentina, and some people had him winning. But I think what you learned was Argentina is slightly ahead of the rest of the world of, you know, almost having a revolution and saying enough is enough.
Yeah.
Their economy has been down the gutter for, what, 2 decades now, maybe longer?
Yeah, longer than that, yeah.
Well, men, so, I mean, you know, at some point you see the peso go to like 10,000 to the dollar, and you're like, they were gonna have to dollarize that economy whether Mulally won or not.
Yeah.
I just think it shows you the political appetite of constituents right now, where they're, you know, similar to 2016 here, right, where you said enough was enough, and you were trying to go away from the political elite and bring in someone new and someone fresh.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're doing, is that nothing has worked in this country for decades, and we need a fresh start. We need something else.
Well, I think you're right on, and the fact that, you know, it's like there's that apathy level is so high, and people just they just want to try something new, and it's not. And I think we're seeing it continued. You know, Holland, you know, the Netherlands had the same kind of a thing going on. You know, Europe is in the same political sphere, but I think again, we're more and more separating the political from the economic. And more we're just like moving in places that we haven't seen before. And even like this morning, the news this morning about the Koch brothers backing Nikki Haley here. So that's also going to be very, very interesting with like 48 days before the primaries begin. Because if you do have movement...
She's going to be...
Yeah.
We talked about this last week. She's going to sneaky move up the poll.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's, you know,
Jamie Dimon and now the Koch brothers. I mean, you're going to have some serious hard-hitting Republicans start to align with her.
Yeah, I think the only fear is that if DeSantis does drop out, all those votes go to Trump. He's the major beneficiary of DeSantis coming out.
Most likely.
You know,
most likely.
So, but we, you know, I think it's, I think you're right on this one too. It's just, you know, Nikki Haley, I think, and then if you have movement in the Republican side, then you'll definitely have movement on the Democratic side, because I can't see, like, you know, Biden going up with Nikki Haley, and that's going to be a very difficult election.
So, look, I don't see him being the Democratic nominee.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's probably going to be someone like a Newsom that slips up there. Yeah.
Or Ted's favorite, Amy Klobuchar.
Maybe.
nice. She's nice. We met her. We had a conversation with her. She's ethnic. I think she's, what would she say? She has some Lebanese background to her?
I don't know.
I think I recall.
Yeah.
She came right over to
her. I don't know.
So I don't know if you recall, like 4 years ago in New Hampshire.
Yeah, you were at the New Hampshire primaries.
At the New Hampshire primaries, and she gave us a good 20 minutes. She was engaged, you know, as some of the other candidates really weren't.
She is, and it would be very interesting. Like, you know, it would be very interesting if you get somebody like Amy Klobuchar, because then I think you always, then you will also, like, merge the, or sort of, like, change the lines about between Democrats and Republicans, because you'll find a lot of conservative Republicans finding Amy Klobuchar
Wouldn't it be something if both candidates on both sides were women? Wouldn't that be, you know?
Yeah, I think it was likely. I mean, I think it's likely. Yeah. And Mexico will have an election like that too next year.
Yeah.
Two women.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yep.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting, you know, look, we have just over a month left of 2023. December 1st will be Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be here before we know it, and it's going to be front page center news for the next 10 months.
Yeah, we'll get sick
of
it.
So take everything with a grain of salt. Enjoy your peace and quiet right now, because it's gonna ratchet up.
Yeah, I think it's gonna move very fast. It's been like a stage. Everybody's holding their breath. Once it moves, it's gonna move fairly fast. And you know, I listened to somebody like Chris Christie, and you know, I think he's sort of like, you know, he's playing for that second place thing. He says I'm not, but he is. So
why is he even?
The political aspirations, in order for you to be president of the United States, you need to be a major egotist. Otherwise, you can't do it.
Nobody wants the job.
Exactly. It's not like one of those things where you just, like, you know, you have to be geared that way. And sometimes you have a lot of blind spots.
No, thank you.
And it's a tough political environment. Like, it's not like it's gotten easier.
Yeah,
It's gotten more difficult. That's why I just don't.
It's gotten more difficult. I mean, what is the Republican? You know, what has the Republican Party passed since they've been able to be in control? It's been nothing.
I mean, what's the upside? What's the upside for a guy like Chris Christie? To, you know, realistically, he has to know. He really can't really.
Yeah, look, when people run for city council or, like, you know, local election, their aspiration is to become president. So, like, it's a stepping stone. This guy was a governor, and he has a track record, and his track record is somewhat...
No, and there's parts of Christie I like. I don't agree with him 100%, but there's some things that he says that I can, you know, understand. But I also don't feel, you know, he's the same old thing. You know, he's been around for a long time, and just the same old thing, and I don't see the upside for him unless, you know, he gets some job at some college, you know,
exactly,
making a few extra bucks teaching political science.
Well, I don't think he wants to be a political science professor. I think he probably wants to be like a president of a college
or
maybe some
like
kind
that.
Of a secretary position somewhere. Remember, all those people that folded in with Biden by March of last election cycle, they all became secretaries one way or another, like Pete Buttigieg, like Kamala Harris, you know, so, like, they all got something.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, hey, that 3-5% or whatever you're getting, you can turn that into some kind of a promissory note.
Yeah, I guess.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
You know, and I think to answer your question, Teddy, I think it's ego, right? I think it's ego. I think it's these people are used to being in a position of power, and that's hard to give up.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just not for me.
Why else would you have lifetime politicians? Like, who wants to be a senator in their 80s?
Not me.
Like,
most of the U.S. Senate.
Most of the U.S. Senate exactly wants to be.
It's just like, it's the only thing that you can point to is that they don't want to ever give up that position of power.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, and I think that's where the distaste comes in. That's where populist politics has emerged, because people don't want to give up power, and they're not very, you know, effective as far as policy is concerned, whether it's immigration, whether it's economics, whether it's security or otherwise. And I think that's where we are right now. So I'm looking forward to hopefully, you know, stirring up the pot a little bit politically and see some new faces come up, and so we don't have like a rematch of Trump-Biden. And I'm excited about that.
Well, you've been making that call. It's been about a year now.
I
agree with that call.
I can't see, you know, either one of them.
I think they're done.
No. It's just a matter of, like, holding the bridge, you know. So
could you see Trump endorsing any candidate?
No.
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 Yeah.
No.
No, I mean, I get, you know, no.
It's
which, oddly enough, is funny because they called him the kingmaker when he left office, right? They said that he was going to crown the next Republican, you know, presidential nominee.
Yeah.
And he crowned himself.
Nice Stefana. Nice Stefana. Anyway, Manny, always a pleasure. Always some fun. We really go all over the place. All right, let's close out on the Pats. We'll make it very brief. You know, and I honestly, you know, I would not want to be Mac Jones today with his salary. That poor guy, first of all, he's really not that good. Or at least he hasn't proven himself. You know, when you watch it, it's almost common. And another touchdown, and I'm sure you watched the game, and all the commentators were like, this guy's just got to go. You know, and they bring in Zappi, and he does the same thing, moves the ball, throws. It's almost like you're watching Pop Warner football.
Oh, yeah, it's a complete – it's honestly comical because at this point in the season, you scratch your head and you say, how could it possibly get any more embarrassing?
Yeah.
But yet week over week, it does.
Yeah, well, you know.
You know, and you know about the quarterback play. That's fine. Like, we understood what we were going in with. But, like, one of the things that I will tell you is that if you look at the starting roster for this past Sunday's game, that's the exact roster that they went into the season with. So it's not like other teams that you could be like, you know, we lost Joe Burrow, we lost our offensive lineman. The lineup they had out there on Sunday was the team that they put on the starting lineup in training camp.
Yeah.
So that's all Bill's guys. That's the team that they wanted to build and thought that they were going to have great success and win the AFC East.
Tell
them what you said earlier.
I've never played football, but I think, you know, just being an observer of the game, and I like the game. I think a lot of it has to do with confidence and, like, you know, the attitude that you have in the locker room, and I think the coach has a lot to do with that. And I think they've given up on the coach. I don't think it's an issue of talent right now. I think that just this team has given up on Bill Belichick. You know, I'm a Bill Belichick supporter. I like Bill Belichick, but I think it's just that.
I have not heard any of the players bashing him, although I have heard them say, well, ask the coach.
But you can see it in the field. You know, I mean, you can see when teams play for the coach, you know, you can see that in the field.
There's no rah-rah there.
You know, the Patriots have this whole, like, the Patriots way. They won't say anything about anybody or whatever. Yeah. Once he goes, then the books will come out.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I do think it is a discrepancy of talent. Look, I don't think this team has any talent on the roster. Besides Christian Gonzalez, who you drafted in the first round a year or two ago, there's no one. You have no young talent on this team that you could literally pinpoint and say, here's who we're going to build around, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So that's disastrous in and of its own self. But what you've seen take place at the quarterback position between having – three or four guys, you know, you started off the season with four quarterbacks on the team, and you couldn't even make one of them work. And you've cut them throughout the regular season, including Zappi, and then brought them back on. So, look, I think it's just – I think you got to clear house. I think everyone's got to go. You know, Bill will have his legacy, but, you know, I think it's time for a change here. You're charging the highest season ticket prices in the league and you are, what, 2-8, 2-9?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
That's not a team that you can build around. That's a team that you need to clear house and start all over again.
Anyway, Manny, Petro, always a pleasure.
Same here.
Enjoy. A little chilly out today, but, you know, it's almost Christmas time. But all right, every Tuesday we do it at 11 o'clock. Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management.
Oh, one thing for our listening audience, since we're wrapping up with some finance, we didn't talk a lot about it. The energy stocks are getting attractive here. So things like XOM, things like Oxy, priced below $80 a barrel, you probably want to look at scooping some energy shares. If you don't want to pick anything in particular, you can buy XLE, which is the energy ETF. That's a breakup of all those companies I just listed.
Sounds
interesting,
good.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Tip of the week right there. Tip of the week, yeah. Manny, pleasure. Hope to see you soon. I didn't see you over the Thanksgiving week, but I'm sure.
I know.
There's a lot going on, and we're going to.
We got to get together. Well, I'm sure with the holiday festivities around the corner, we'll have plenty of events and opportunities to see one another.
Absolutely.
Including your profession. It'd be great to, you know, get together.
Yeah, we'll get together. Manny Frangidakis, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
All right, a little bit more music.